Hey everybody, and welcome to the season finale of the Irish Podcast. I'm Jane.
And I'm Cormac. In this season, we shared the ups and downs of our Italian journey.
From how we moved to Italy to the hustle of work, we've shared what it's actually like to move countries.
We've covered Tuscan adventures, our unforgettable bedbug experience, plus the Edinburgh Fringe Special.
Whether you're a travel enthusiast or just curious, join us for stories, laughs, and good old Irish hospitality. Doing it, bub.
The season finale.
We're finally finishing, and it's coming in under the 2 years.
A month under the 2 years now.
It took the year and a half to record the first season, so we're getting it down.
Well, let's see how long it takes us to record this episode first.
So this is the ultimate guide to Florence.
Through our eyes.
Through our eyes, yes.
Yeah.
So we have two, if you're not seasoned listeners, we have two prior big podcasts about Florence. One being our Florence guide when we were in the city maybe like 6 months.
Yeah.
And we just did one a couple of weeks ago about the Oltrano, which is the south side of the river. But this is like everything that we've learned whilst trying not to rehash things from that podcast. So it's everything that we've learned in the last 2 years.
So yeah, any like the rest of what we have mentioned before in the other episodes that we don't mention today, it's not a slight on them. We're just trying to give everyone new information.
Yes.
On where to go that we've discovered.
So do go back and listen to those other two Florence episodes.
Yes. Because
they're still very helpful. But this is just an up-to-date, the little secret places that we found.
The local haunts, the kind of like places that you don't see on TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
All the influencers.
And we're trying to make a really conscious effort not to do that. Because we don't want anyone waiting in a queue.
No. We want the little family-owned businesses that are really cute, that are mainly Italians, to get a bit more business. And to get the attention that they deserve. All right.
So we're going to break down this episode into our very typical transport, accommodation, food. Then we have a whole range of bars and just alcohol-y kind of section. Then we've got fun, so like cultural stuff to do, as well as other things to do if you're maybe staying in Florence for a little bit longer than a few days.
All right, let's start it off with transportation.
Transportation. So we are obviously flying in and out of Ireland a lot. So Pisa Airport is the handiest for us. Pisa, there's a train or there's a bus.
Yeah.
And the last bus very generously waits in Pisa Airport until all the flights come in. So if you're on a late night flight and you're worried about the bus going, don't worry, even if there's delays, it always waits.
I've had to reassure a lot of traveling people that the bus outside that is completely empty and just sitting there will be going. The driver is inside in the bar waiting for the flights to get in.
Yeah, so he generally waits about a half an hour after the last flight has gotten in, which is a bit of it's a bit annoying because if your flight is coming in at like 11 and then there's a flight delayed, you have to wait for that flight to come in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just to let you know that there is a bus going from Pisa very late at night. The Bologna airport I've actually flown out of, we've had a few family members fly out of, so we have a quite large Irish following at this stage, so we just want to say that the best flights, if you're coming for a weekend, is to fly into Pisa and then fly out on the Monday from Bologna.
Yeah, so Friday arrive in Pisa, fly out Monday Bologna.
Yeah, you get into Florence about 6 p.m. then on the Friday, and then you have to get up at 9 a.m. but that's when you'd be checking out of your hotel anyway. So
both airports as well are connected to the train stations through the Pisa Mover in Pisa, and then the little, I don't know what the tram is called in Bologna, but
they have a little tram. Yeah. It's quite expensive. It's $12.50 for that tram, so I would recommend getting the bus. Buses have become a huge thing for us this year. We were very much all about the trains, but the trains can be quite expensive, and especially the one to Bologna, high speed, it's 33 minutes, but it can cost you, you know, 30, 40 euro, and then you're paying 12 euro for that little tram to bring you to the airport. Whereas the bus is like, I think it's like 18 euro, and it gets you in at the same amount of time.
So, and it's just direct, there's no waiting around, no hassle.
So, but yeah, Bologna is a really good option to fly as well. Then there is Florence Airport. There's not that many flights coming in from Ireland, but a lot of our US listeners, they might be flying into Zurich and then have a transfer into Florence.
Yeah, a big one as well as Frankfurt. You'd be transferred to Frankfurt and then to Florence.
Yeah, so just to bear in mind that if you're flying in the wintertime, Florence Airport runway is very, very short, and so they often get redirected to Rome. And often if you're booking flights out of Florence, especially in the wintertime, they will get redirected to either Pisa or Rome. So that's just, I would just avoid Florence Airport like the plague, because if there's any little gush in the wind.
It's the smallest runway in Europe or something. Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's tiny.
I won't be flying in or out of it anytime soon.
No, not you, love. No offense.
Not for me. The other one to note is just that there is a new high-speed train going from Turin in the north all the way to Salerno in the south. But it means now to get to Rome, or to get from Rome to Florence, it's only an hour and a half.
Yeah, an hour and 30 minutes. So it's the high-speed train. Mm-hmm. Either the Svencarossa or the Italo.
So it can be a little bit pricey, but it just means that Rome is definitely an option to fly into.
Yeah.
And then Malpensa, the Milan airport, I've also flown in or out of. But again, that high-speed train, I've looked at Ryanair flights and I'm like, oh, that's super cheap. You know, it's like €50 cheaper to get those flights. But then once you take the train tickets into account, it may not necessarily be the best. Or also remember the arrival times. So you could be like, oh, well, my flight gets in at 10 p.m., but then there's no trains to get to fly. Just always make sure that you're checking the train times along with your airport arrival or departure times.
And definitely for the high-speed train, book it at least 72 hours in advance, because inside that 72 hours, the prices just start to steadily climb.
It's absolutely crazy. So I would recommend getting a bus wherever possible. And then just the final thing, we've said a million times about the train tickets, but if you book your tickets online, you must validate your ticket online by giving information through an email system login portal. If you are getting a physical train ticket, then you must validate it on the platform by putting it into a little green ticket machine that will stub it. Yep. Otherwise, €6 fine. Bam.
Boom. €6. Anyway, fine.
Just transport within Florence then. Taxis, avoid them like the plague. It's not happening. If you arrive into the height of the summer and you arrive into Santorino Bella train station and your hotel is maybe on the other side of the city, you will be joining a queue of hundreds of people. So that is just not going to happen. So you're walking it.
You're walking.
But you can, you know, take it slowly, stop off for a drink here.
There's a bar crawl to your accommodation. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So just don't be packing 20 kilos or more.
Oh my God, I've seen poor tourists with suitcases bigger than themselves dragging them across cobblestone streets.
Just don't do it to yourselves. Bring a little bag. There's a million laundromats all around Italy. And so just bring your bag. And once a week, if you're coming for a long trip, just stick your clothes in. You can live for a week off a 10 kg suitcase. We did it for a very long time.
Did it for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then turned into 2 years.
There is a tram going out to Florence Airport if you are flying in or out of there. And the tram is very, very cheap and it goes all the time. I think it stops on the weekends at 1 a.m. Or it runs up till 11 p.m. on the weekdays.
Yeah.
But the tram is very handy. It's kind of like the Lewis in Dublin for Old World. And then just transport links within the city centre of Florence. There's buses. There's, you know, taxis are a little bit tricky to get, but it's very walkable. It's a very walkable city.
There's a few taxi ranks around the city centre, so you will spot them when you're walking around.
There's ones at Santa Maria Novella and the actual square, and then there is one at Santa Croce as well.
Santa Croce, there's one just behind the Basilica by the Duomo. There's one there.
And there's one by Santo Spirito as well.
Yeah, and then Piazza della Repubblica, right in the centre where the carnival is.
Yeah.
Sorry, there's the carnival, the carousel.
Carousel, yeah. So there's a few little...
Yeah, there's a few little hidden ones, but if you see them empty, don't be surprised, because they're just a lack of taxis in Florence.
Yeah, and if you really need to book a taxi, get your hotel to do it. And if you're really, really stuck, then App Taxi will leave a link in the description. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I wouldn't rely on it to get you to a train in the morning.
No, absolutely not.
So for accommodation, we have either stayed in these places or friends of ours have stayed in these places, or we've really, really wanted to stay in these places. So these are kind of our best recommendations. We're going to start from the cheapest and work our way up to the most expensive. So hostels, you know more about the hostels?
Yeah, so there's a famous chain in Italy called Ostello Bello. It's kind of more modern, kind of hipster nearly, I would describe it as.
Very hipstery.
Very hipstery chain.
It's in Milan, Lake Como, Venice, Rome, Naples, and Florence.
Yeah, there you go. There. It's a bit more expensive than your average hostel. And what a lot of them have done are basically just buy old hotels and then turn them into hostels. So the rooms are actually quite nice. My parents stayed there.
Yeah.
And they loved it. They had a fantastic buffet in the morning. It was a really good setup.
They had aperitivos in the afternoon. Yeah, aperitivos.
They had a whole big vat of pasta for anyone that was in the room. Like, you could just sit there. A lot of live music, entertainment.
They even had in the kitchen, they had tinned foods, they had rice, they had pasta and stuff. Yeah. So if you're a budget traveler, they've got 4-bed, 6-bed, 12-bed dorms, and then they have private rooms as well.
Yeah.
So we would definitely go into another city. I would look at Ostello
Bello. I would look at Ostello Bello. It just depends on the time of year. They are expensive, mm-hmm. but I would definitely, for the quality of service, I would definitely choose Ostello Bello.
I would recommend as well, just if you're a solo female traveler, it feels really, really safe. The staff are... we actually know one of the staff members from the Florence one. And so they're very good about cameras, security, checking everyone's passport details. You are not allowed to check in without an official ID. And so, yeah, I just like that extra level of safety.
Yeah, I would recommend doing your check-in online, because you got stuck, unfortunately, one time just when the check-ins were happening, in a queue for about an hour and 30 minutes.
It's a slow check-in process if you don't have the form pre-done. So just do the form online.
Do it online before you get there. The other one is actually just beside Ostello Bello in Florence on Via de Fienza. It's called Archi Rossi. Archi Rossi probably has a similar quantity of rooms, probably slightly less than Ostello Bello for sure.
Yeah, but it's a mix as well. 4-bed, 6-bed, 12-bed, and then your private rooms as well. Yeah,
they only have a few private rooms, unfortunately. We stayed there. It was absolutely fantastic.
I think we mentioned it in our first podcast.
We did, indoor courtyard, very cheap beer, very good staff.
Laundry service.
Yeah.
They didn't have as much food or cooking facilities or anything like that.
No.
But it's still a nice, cheap, central place to stay.
Yeah, definitely cheaper than Ostello Bello, but you get what you pay for. What you pay for. Exactly.
Then you know a lot of hostels near Finnegan's. So
the big ones near Finnegan's would be Plus Hostel. That is the largest one in Florence.
And just for anybody who hasn't listened to the podcast before, Finnegan's is Finnegan's Irish Bar, which Cormac worked in.
So about a 10-15 minute walk north of the center of the Duomo. And then from the train station, about a 15-minute walk up to that hostel.
Yeah.
Then just past that, then there's another one called the Social Hub, which is kind of a bit more upmarket again from Ostello Bello. It has a swimming pool, a spa, a gym. You can rent their services to work there as a student as well.
Mm-hmm. And one of our friends' parents actually stayed there, and they had a great time. So.
Yeah. No, the rooftop bar, pool area is meant to be really beautiful. So a bit more expensive, but you if you're traveling and you're kind of bouncing around, you want to meet some people, I definitely recommend the Social Hub for that aspect. If you're looking for your little spa treatment or your little swimming pool, that'd be the way I go about it as well.
So then another hotel that we've actually stayed in quite recently, and it seems to be newly refurbished. We had to stay there during one of our housing debacles. But we stayed in Hotel Alinari. We'll put obviously all the links in the descriptions. It's right near the train station.
Yeah, it's right just on the corner, yeah.
Yeah, it couldn't be closer to the train
station. Not at all. Actually. You can literally see the train station from
the
window.
So ideal as well, because then you don't have to pay for taxi fees or anything like that. So, but it's in a kind of complex that every floor is a different hotel.
Yeah.
And we just ended up, we couldn't find them online really. We found them on Google and we ended up calling the hotel and they were super helpful, checked us in straight away. And it was really cheap and extremely clean.
It was one of the cleanest hotel rooms that we've stayed in. Me and Jane went in there and it was a stressful period with our apartment issues at the time. And we were just oh my God, bed super comfortable, super clean. The room was all tiled. We had a little balcony. It was just great.
It was really, really good.
But the only thing is, outside the building, it's just a gigantic, huge wooden door entrance. And it is, as Jane said, four or five fucking hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, where's my one?
Yeah.
So that's the only tricky thing about it. But the good thing is the hotels are all stretched into the back of the building. So the main street in front, you can't really hear it from your room.
No, not at all. Really nice. And there's always people on the desks of each of the hotels. You know, it's usually just lads sitting behind the desk watching Netflix or something. But, you know, you just go in and say, where's this hotel? And they'll tell you. But all of those hotels, I feel, were really good value for money. What an excellent location, because we've gotten out at that Santa Maria Novella train station
Had
to lug our bags in 40 degree heat across the city, and it's an absolute nightmare. So if you're on a semi-median budget, we're talking 120 to 150 euro per night.
And then somewhere 2 to 250 a night.
Yeah, then that's where I would recommend. And some of the hotel rooms in that hotel even have like views of the Duomo and stuff. So
yeah,
it's pretty cute.
Moving kind of on to kind of like boutique hotels, in a sense, would be Hotel Jane.
Yes.
Your hotel.
My hotel. So
your future property.
Yes, my future property. We have not stayed there personally, but it is somewhere that if we were recommending a friend to come and stay, again, it's that kind of median budget, but we looked it up for the middle of June and it's only 150 for a weekend night.
It's 130.
So. 130
for the weekend night.
That's, I mean, for the city centre, that's really, really good value.
Very highly reviewed. People have said that it's kind of like an old school B&B nearly. It's like a huge lounge room area that's really funky designed, very unique.
It's very hipster, like, Great for the Instagram.
They have like bicycles hanging off the wall, like boat oars, a motorcycle in the sit room. But apparently they have a beautiful little balcony. Their breakfast there is incredible. And it's just meant to be a really homely, atmospheric stay. And we've researched it a lot. We were going to stay there during a couple of different times as well. And we didn't, unfortunately. But from the research that we did, it looks really nice, good location. And we want to stay there. But luckily we live here now, so we don't have to.
So the next place is called My Forte Relay. And it is, or
Rally?
I don't know. Italian brain is not working today.
I'm looking at that like it's French.
Yeah. But I will, again, put the link in the description. It's just a 2-star hotel. However, it has a swimming pool and a rooftop jacuzzi. The rooms are very simple, bare bones, but it's 120 euro right now for like rooms in June and July on the weekends. So again, really good price for Florence right now. And it is east of the city. It's just outside the city center. So bit of a dose if you were coming out of the train station. But if you're comfortable in getting buses at all, then you're laughing. Or if you're renting a car or a moped or anything like that, then you're laughing as well. But it's very, very walkable. You know, it's, just drink your way there.
About a 20 minute walk from there to the Duomo.
Yeah. Yeah. 20 minutes straight.
Bang on. Straight shot, straight across. So Florence, we've described many times before, it's in a triangular shape. There's two huge main roads that wrap around the entire city called the Viale. And the Viale on the right-hand side, it's on that Viale. So very busy road. I don't know what the inside of the hotel is like for noise. I'm sure it's probably fine.
But the reviews are absolutely stellar. It's actually in the area that we live now, not to give too much away about where we're living, but we find it's like a prime location. It's all locals. It's like real Italian feel. There's some beautiful restaurants, bars, our favorite market that we'll talk about later. It's all in that area. So maybe if you've done Florence once before and you've seen the Duomo and you've seen the Medici Chapel, or you've done the Uffizi and you want a bit more of like an Italian feel, or if you're, a lot of people are coming for weddings at the minute to go to Florence, and if you're renting a car, because it's just outside of the ZTL, it's a perfect place for parking because you don't have to pay to go inside the city center walls as such. But I would highly recommend there because it just looks savage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now you're going to take over Fancy Town.
Fancy Town. So I will start off with a little plug for my new job, Calasso Guagnani on Santo Spirito. My new job, I work in the terrace bar there. It is an old school boutique hotel. It is 15 bedrooms. It's all antiquity style rooms. They haven't kind of changed the building. The building is over 400 or 500 years old. It's where Napoleon Bonaparte's niece used to live when he ruled Florence. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. But when he was ruling from here. So the building itself is absolutely gorgeous. It's an experience.
Yeah, it's on the Altar now. So it's on the south side of the city, but like about a 5-minute walk, maybe even less, to the Ponte Vecchio, the Gardens, all that. So amazing location. But the views.
So the terrace rooftop bar is absolutely stunning, I have to say. It's the location and the views that you get from up there, and some of the bedrooms, you're looking over the entire city, because it is as well on the south side of the river. It's one of the tallest buildings. So when you're upstairs, like from your bedroom window, and I would say 60% of the rooms would have one of the best views of the city you'll ever see in your life.
Okay, so depending on which nights you're staying, it can kind of range from like 250 up to 350.
Yeah.
But some of the rooms are absolutely massive. And again, that view is just...
So that I would say as well, because it's like it is very famous, a terrace, it's very busy. If you're on one of the rooms in the lobby, the only thing I would say, it is quite noisy up until about 11 o'clock. After that, it's absolutely really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But you will, like, if you're trying to rest from a whole day traveling, you're going to hear the bar being extremely busy. I would say that the breakfast there is one of the most incredible, like, views that you'll ever get. Like, having your morning coffee on a really quiet terrace overlooking the entire west side of the city. And it's stunning. The atmosphere there is incredible. Our mixologist who makes our cocktail list is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I'd recommend for any, especially Americans, if you're coming over and you're willing to spend 250, maybe 300, pushing it a little bit, but I would recommend, it's the location is absolutely amazing. Such a nice square, such a nice setting. You're still within 5 minutes of the super busy city center, but it's a little bit more reserved, a little bit more quiet.
Santa Spirito's atmosphere. Jane always describes it as a little bit French, the square.
A little bit Parisian,
It's a little bit Parisian. There's a lot. It's a very lively, beautiful atmosphere. Sunday, every single Sunday, there's a gigantic farmer's market that's on that square. So, yeah.
And on Monday, there's live bands that play in the square as well.
Yeah, live really nice music, vibe. Very vibrant bars. So it's a stunning location to be set up in.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the rooms as well look over that square, and they're absolutely gigantic. Yeah. Huge open ceilings. All of the tile work in the bathrooms are all like handpicked from the owner. Very boutique, very kind of special place.
Yeah, but if you're coming on your honeymoon, if you were coming for a special anniversary or something, would highly, highly recommend.
Another one then that we'd recommend, again, on the higher budget.
This is the ultimate high budget. And if there's anyone that rich listening to our podcast, then what are you doing?
What are you doing here?
You've come to the wrong place. But it is we've talked about it in our prior episodes. It's the Excelsior.
Yeah,
hotel.
The Westin Excelsior. I'm sure like a lot of Americans know it. They have multiple hotels across the world. Very well renowned for their 5-star service. It is a beautiful, breathtaking hotel.
Rooftop terrace is insanity. Yep. There's an indoor glass bar where you can just like look out during the winter time. There's views of the whole, like 360.
It's a 360, degree view across the entire terrace. I'm talking like it has a Rolex display when you walk into the lobby.
Yes.
So that just tells you everything you need to know.
Flower displays every time you walk in there. It's absolutely amazing. So we used to go there all the time not all the time. It was our big treat, kind of maybe once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But we used to go there quite often for a coffee, and it used to be €6 for an espresso, but you get little cakes. So we'd always say €2 for the coffee, €2 for the cakes, and €2 just to pay for that view. We actually got trapped in with the football team AC Milan one time.
AC Milan were arriving by bus, so they closed off the front of the hotel because some visiting fans were waiting for them. And we exited and we were trapped.
We're just
security.
Like, we want to get out.
We
don't
want to leave. We don't want to be here when the team gets here. Like,
I was literally like almost dressed in pajamas. Yeah, it was casual. But no, the Excelsior, I mean, there are some suites there that have like little pools, hot tubs.
And it's literally on the river. It's Lung Arno. It's just absolutely incredible. So yeah, if you're looking for that 5-star once in a lifetime hotel experience, the West next year.
So if any of you have won the lotto, then maybe go there for a night.
Yeah, and then bring us with you.
Yeah, please. Thank you. So we just want to give some tips about if you don't want to use any of the hotels that we've recommended, just some general tips about finding accommodation, whether that's through Airbnb or TripAdvisor or B&B Italia is really good. Check, first up, Google the address of the place that you're looking for. Because sometimes hotel chains can have changed hands, but maybe not really. And so you can see the true reviews. So I would just check reviews across the board, TripAdvisor, Google, everything.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would check, unfortunately, it is happening across all of Europe and we've been stung with it, is there is a bedbug epidemic. It tends to calm down in the wintertime, but the height of summer, a lot of them come out of dormancy. And so there are a few hotels in Florence that have bed bugs.
I think the best piece of advice Jane has ever given me is when you're looking at the reviews, look for the worst reviews first. Filter through, you know, 20 to 30 of their worst reviews. And
if there is any mention of bed bugs, just avoid it.
Just avoid it. Avoid it like the plague, unless it was many, 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 many years ago. I know, but like people will definitely still end up going there. Yeah. But that's the thing. Just check the worst reviews first. If it has bed bugs, we've done a whole special on bed bugs. So we've lined out what you need to look for when you check your beds, what little signs to keep an eye out for to avoid dealing with that. Because lads, it's not worth it.
Yeah. But yeah, there's no point in scrolling through a bunch of 5-star reviews. Always go and check the 1 and 2-star reviews. Yeah. You'll see the people that are difficult straight away, but there might be one or two few honest ones that you might need to take into consideration.
And moving on to another little bite when it comes to money is the city tax.
Yes. So the city tax now for Florence, it's not a scam, guys. You're going to arrive into Italy and no matter where you're staying, they will charge you a city tax per person per night. And for Florence for 2024, it is €5.50 per person per night, which is ouchies. It was €2 when we came here.
Inflation's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not ideal, but yeah. So when you check into a hotel, they will ask you for ID and then they will ask for the city tax. In fancier places, they'll take card. In other places, they might just be like, no, we need cash. It is not a scam. It's a bureaucratic thing. It's just what all the cities do.
A lot of the websites directly for the hotels will say it in the fine print somewhere, being like, city tax, this price does not include city tax.
Yeah.
It won't tell you what the city tax is, but it will say that it's not included.
Yeah, but if you're coming for a week, you know, and then you get hit with a €70 bill for the two of you, you're a bit like, for God's sake. Yay. But that's just the way it is, unfortunately. So just write that into the budget when you're coming.
Yeah.
Just one last thing we want to touch on hotels with, especially because we have a lot of American listeners, is air conditioning.
Oh my God, make sure when you check the amenities list that there's aircon. Because some of the buildings in Florence are great. They're very thick walls, they're very cool. Some of them are a bit more, have been renovated or in the center, thinner walls. It is hot like a sauna.
Yeah, and there are 4-star hotels that do not have air conditioning. So it's just to warn you that some people might provide you with a fan. Some people might say you have to pay extra for a fan. And then some places just do not have air conditioning. It's go and enjoy it.
I think I even saw a hotel once that had some rooms with aircon and other rooms without. So just make sure.
Get the aircon.
Anyone coming from Ireland, don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
50% of your budget needs to go towards a room with a.
If you're coming in June, July, or August, or even the first week of September, you need aircon.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're just going to have a horrible time. You're not going to. There are just 3 more little points I'd like to make about accommodation, but I'll make it very quick. Number one is Airbnb is destroying the rental market across a lot of Europe. I think across the world.
Yeah.
And so when we first came to Italy, and obviously if you're on a budget, people are going to go with Airbnb. But we just want to mention that Airbnb is causing a huge amount of issues in Florence. And so the government have taken a couple of steps and to try and reduce the number of B&Bs by giving people who have opted to get rid of their Airbnbs, they are giving them tax breaks, and they have officially put a limit on the amount of Airbnbs now. There are no more new Airbnbs to be put into the market for the next couple of years. So I just want to touch on the Airbnb thing. The other one is booking.com. We have been scanned through booking.com, and so I know it's quite a trusted platform for many people, but that's why we do recommend to Google your hotel before you get there, because booking.com always just say, if the hotel won't refund you, then we won't. So it's just to watch out for that. Also, booking.com can really inflate the prices. So there is a website which is called bedandbreakfast.it, or just trying to book from the hotels directly sometimes can be a lot cheaper. Yeah. But obviously, if you're a genius level 3 on booking.com, then sometimes it could work out at the same price. You can get a free breakfast, but I just wouldn't always trust booking.com.
Yeah, do your research and make sure that you're definitely getting the best deal.
Yeah. The last one is just to look at prices. If you are able to use a VPN, then change your VPN to Italy and then look up the prices, because depending on the region that you're from, especially if you're looking it up from America or Ireland, they can significantly increase the prices. So browse on incognito mode, browse on a VPN, and just check out the prices for that. And if you do a VPN through Italy, you can just translate the pages to English. Maybe if you're not that tech savvy, ask somebody who is, but it could actually save you, you know, a couple of hundred euro if you're coming for a week or two. So they're my final little tips on book. So now we move on to food.
Food, glorious food.
So these are just, we've broken it down into like lunch, coffee, crostinis, dinners, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we will just give a brief description on all of them.
So these are basically just our favorite places. There's no kind of rhyme nor rhythm to them.
Yes. And Mom, if you're listening, you know, I don't spend all my money eating out. It's quite cheaper.
This is 2 years of like going to a place a few times here and there.
Yeah. We don't eat out every night.
No. Like some of these places we've only been to twice or three times.
Yeah. So, but the first place we haven't been to just one or two times is our favorite coffee places, which is Artigianale. I think we go there every single day now.
Every single day. To the point now that they all know us and our order by name.
Shout out to Esther, who works in the Santa Borgia one.
Yeah, she is one of the best waitresses ever.
She is so fun. She's so fun. So Artigianales, there are 5 of them across the city. They're just about to open a 6th one near San Lorenzo, which is super central near the train station. They do all of your Americanized style coffees.
They do iced coffees. They do everything you could dream of. They do brunch. They have like a more kind of standard modernized menu of brunch items. So like, you know, your Caesar salads, your eggs benedict, your salmon.
Sweet potato fries,
kind of all that kind of jazz.
They also do, so they do oat milk. So I'm allergic to dairy. So they do the oat milk. They do the almond milk, which I'm on now.
They do pumpkin spice coffees. They do all the kind of traditional things that like a Starbucks or a chain in America would do here, just with more of a Italian style pastries, sandwiches, schicciattas, things like that.
Yeah.
Really good. It's one of the best like consistent coffee places that we've been to.
Yes, they're quite pricey though, so do just watch out that they are American or Irish style or Irish level of prices.
Yeah.
A mention which is not our favorite at all, but that if you're looking for a piece of home, there are 2 Starbucks now that have come in to Florence in the last year.
Avoid them, lads. Just avoid
them. The queues are outrageous, but if you are someone who just drinks a certain type of caramel, spice, latte, whatever it is, there's one in the underground of the train station, and then there's one closer to the Duomo. The one closer to the Duomo, you'll be waiting an hour in the queue. Don't even bother. It's absolutely crazy. But it is on Deliveroo. And sometimes the delivery fee is free. So if you wanted to get your coffee delivered to you in the morning, that is an option.
If you are just
my advice for, I know what it's like to be a difficult coffee person. So
if you're just a very happy espresso person, then you'll be fine. There is a million little cafe bars, just really good coffee. One of my favorites, like for cappuccinos and for espressos, is Buon Amici. It's on the south side of the river. It's a very local, traditional place that has an incredible selection of pastries.
Oh my God, the pastries are insane.
Absolutely beautiful.
It's only down the road from our first house in Florence, and we used to go there every morning. And if I didn't gain the £10 just from those pastries alone. They're savage. Oh,
the chocolate filled chocolate eclair. Oh, like they were just the best things ever.
Yeah, and super, super cheap. We're talking like €1 for a coffee, €1.50 maybe for a pastry. Just absolutely beautiful. And the people who work there are super nice. So
I would say as well, a lot of cafes and bars here do have an alcohol selection, and they do like aperitivos in the evening. I've seen this firsthand in my job so many times, where if you order an Americano, they will more than likely make you the cocktail Americano, not a coffee Americano. So you need to ask for a cafe Americano for a black coffee.
Yeah.
So I've made the mistake myself. It's not ideal.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of hilarious. Also, if you like the a latte, normal like latte coffee. Latte in Italian is the word for milk.
So they will just bring you a glass of milk.
They literally bring you milk if you just ask for latte. So again, you have to say cafe latte, cafe Americano. That's my little coffee tip.
But if you go to Artigianale, you'll encounter none of those problems because they're used to dealing with more of an Americanized international market. So sandwich, bakery, kind of grab-and-go places.
Grab-and-go places. That's the best way to describe it.
My favorite is there is a porchetta place that's maybe 100 meters away from the Duomo. It's got quite a long name and it's a chain. So I will put the specific one in the link in the description. It's like
Porchetteria.
Porchetteria something, something, something. It's quite a long, annoying name. You're not going to remember by just listening to me. But they do the most amazing pork sandwiches with salsa verde. It's not like your Mexican style salsa verde. It's made with like cilantro and basil and caper oil. And it's just really delicious.
Absolutely amazing.
They do sandwiches with pecorino cheese as well. So there is a famous Tuscan leather market and it's right beside there. And it's just between the Ponte Vecchio and the Duomo. So again, we'll leave the name on in the description, but it is my favorite place for pork sandwich.
It's absolutely the best. It's the best sandwich. They literally just roast 5 or 6 huge loins of pork every day. And it's absolutely incredible.
And the queues are not that bad. Like everyone talks about what's it called? Il Vinaio Antica or Il
Antico Il Vinaio.
Yeah.
Antico Il Vinaio.
So you see these crazy queues that are hundreds of people long. And I just don't feel like those sandwiches are worth it. And
they're huge as well. Like they're kind of a bit obsessively too large.
Yeah.
Like at least with the porchetta sandwich that we get, it's more meat than bread. Whereas it's the other way around for the...
But if you do want to go and get your Instagram picture taken with the Antico Vinaio sandwich, then there is one. It's the same people, it's the same chain, it's the same ingredients, it's the same sandwiches, but there is one up in San Marco, which is maybe 5 minutes north of the Duomo rather than the very, very busy one that's 5 minutes south. So there's never really ever a queue in the San Marco one. And if you want to just taste it and not wait in a ridiculous queue, then I would recommend going there.
Yeah, and they're now opening one right across from the train station.
I'd say that will be mobbed.
It's opening this month.
I'd say that's going to be insanely
busy. Oh, it's going to be incredible. People getting off the train and be like, oh yeah, there's this famous sandwich shop. I'm just going straight to there. So yeah, avoid that.
I don't get it. It's not for me. Everything has pistachio or cheese in it. I'm someone who doesn't eat dairy, so
yeah,
there's just not a lot for me there, but you know, if you're going to do the Instagram thing.
I've had one. I had their nuda spicy one for my lunch once. It was a nice sandwich. It was great. But I went to another place called San Chic, quite near the center as well.
Same thing.
It was equally as good.
Yeah.
There was no difference.
Anyway, it's €9 for one of those sandwiches. Yeah. So that's okay. Nice.
Insanity.
The next two places that we're going to talk about are right next to each other.
Yeah.
And it's just near that Bonamici place. So you could go and get your coffee in Bonamici and then rock around the corner. And it is a little kiosk called Simone's. They do amazing porchetta sandwiches. They do beef sandwiches and then they do the Lamprodotto.
So it's one of the most famous locals places for the Lamprodotto or the Trippio, the tripe sandwiches. So I have to say, a lot of locals and a lot of people that have lived in Florence for many years, they know Simone. Simone is a really famous kiosk. And I have to say, the quality, you can get the porchetta sandwich with some salsa verde and some beautiful like sautéed vegetables.
Yeah, the peppers are really good.
Peppers are really good. The burger there is actually incredible as well.
Big tall Peronis for €4. Yeah. And it's just, it's a real, like you can see builders rocking up there. And they're
builders, driving. Lawyers, bankers, yeah. Service industry, mothers, daughters, like it's just everyone.
It's plastic, it's high tables, it's, you know, it's a little kiosk, but it's really, really savage, I have to say. Yeah. And even some of the food tours actually drop by there as well.
They pass them for the tripe and the lampreddotto specifically.
So if you want to try tripe, but maybe not spend an absolute fortune on it in a restaurant,
yeah,
that's where you should go. And then just across the road from it is a place called L'Angolo Saporito. Too bad.
Nailed it.
It's a little bakery, but they do these just huge batches of square pizza. And you can buy it by the slice. And the sausage one is amazing.
And then they just sell it by weight. And the sausage one specifically.
Yeah, you can ask for it to be cut as big or as small as you want. They'll heat it up for you right there. You get it in a little bag, eat it out of the bag. It's delicious. It's greasy. But it's like proper traditional Florence style pizza.
Yeah, they have a massive selection of fresh bread as well. Everything there is made in-house, as many places in Italy are. But they do little like chocolate pastries, croissants, little treats. They have like a load of different selections as well. But it's not that big of a selection either. I like it. It's just like, it's very...
They do what they do and they do it well.
Yeah, like 30 different little pastries, biscuits, etc. 5 or 6 different pizzas depending on their day, really. Like every time we've gone there, they either have like a different amount of selection available or a different style of selection.
Yeah, if you just want a grab and go, you're going to go and explore the Altrano for an afternoon, I would definitely just check out there. And they serve pizza all day.
Yeah, no, all day long. They close at like 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah, but it's great because, you know, 4 o'clock in the day when everyone's starving, go and share one of those big...
Yeah, there's a little cafe just across the road as well. That's really cute. If you want to sit there and have a little beer afterwards.
Yeah, Cafe Sirace.
Yeah.
So then Crostini's. Do you maybe want to explain what Crostini's are for people?
Crostini's are really famous in Florence. Basically, it's sliced toasted bread with some variety of a topping. So there's a couple of famous ones, like obviously pate Crostini's would be the most famous. And then you have like, depending on where you are, one of the most famous ones in Italy in general, all across the board, is just butter and anchovies with some capers. That's a really famous one. So it's tiny
like
little
your bruschettas, but a whole different amount of variations on them. So we love Crostini's, especially we love it with a lovely glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to just get a plate of them.
Yeah. So like a lot of little like Enantecas or wine places will just do Crostini's as their food option. And you don't need anything else.
I know. I think it's way better to go to a little wine bar, get a couple of Crostini's rather than going into a restaurant and getting a starter.
Yeah.
Because you can have a little taste of stuff.
A little tasting.
So
tasting of everything.
My favorite one is called Osteria Nuvoli. I've talked about it nonstop on my TikTok. But it is one block behind the Duomo and it is another world. It's all Italians. They mostly speak Italian in there. There's one or two that have a bit of English and you just point at the things that you want. But it's an all day, they've got a fabulous basement restaurant downstairs as well.
Yeah.
Super traditional food, super cheap, but their Crostini's are absolutely amazing. They've got a raw sausage one that is amazing. They've got, what's the meat one called? That's just like a block of minced meat.
Oh, it's just polpette di manzo.
Oh, it's so good. It's so
polpette is just, it's basically like meatballs. It's just like a fried ball.
Yeah, it's like a fried meatball.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And then you love the spicy one with cheese.
Yeah, they do just basically like a calabrese picante, which is just chopped onions, peppers, tomatoes, all a load of chilies in it, and a bit of mozzarella.
There's a good kick to it now.
It's a good kick, but it's not too much. It goes really well with a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. I have to say.
You can get a small glass of wine there for €3. So.
Yeah, and then if you become really hungry, they do little food downstairs in their little wine cellar.
Yeah, so cute. And the meals there, I mean, you can get like a huge boar pasta for maybe like €11. They do a gorgeous chicken dish with a side of roasty potatoes. That's €9.
Yeah.
Really, really good traditional Tuscan food. usually all Italians down there.
And their entire wine list is Tuscan wine.
And you're very, very squeezed in into the basement, just to warn you. So
yeah, you like they just have large tables and that's it. So if you're looking for a romantic table of two, no chance.
Not going to happen.
You're going to be sharing a large table with a table of four or two other twos.
Or they'll squeeze you in with 12 other Italians and you'll just have to join in the fun. So
have a great time.
And then your one is...
One of my favorite Cristini places is Casa El Vino. It's just beside the Centrale Market. So where all the leather stalls are, it's actually just like hidden behind it. So you don't really know it's there, but it is incredible. It's more natural wine. It's all biodynamic wines.
Tuscan. Not my favorite kind of wines, if you haven't had them before.
No. They're all a bit funky.
If you're into craft beer.
If you're into your wines, if you're like a craft wine lover, like a craft beer lover is, it's your place. And it's like old school, big oak bar. It's all wooden. It's just really beautiful atmosphere. They do kind of more speciality crostinis in the sense that they do like the butter with anchovies. They do like hard boiled eggs sliced on top of some mackerel.
They're a bit more upscale.
I think they're 50 cents more expensive for their crostinis. I think they're 150 instead of 1 euro.
Which still, I mean, isn't
bad. Nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And also they do like meat and cheese boards. They don't have a restaurant. It's just all like light bites, but they do meat and cheese boards as well. And yeah, it's just really beautiful place. I think the atmosphere there is just incredible. It's like really 1930s, 1940s.
Yeah. And it's really cute to see Italians go in and they're like buying their wines for the week. You know, it just reminds me of like what like an old Irish shop must have been like back in the day.
I saw tourists going in there and they were like, do you have this specific Chianti Classico? I want the 1998 or the 2007 or like I want this bottle. And he just had a supply list on his tablet. Like, yeah, we have that in stock. We'll ship it to wherever you live in the world. And like people coming in doing that, locals coming in and get their house wine.
Yeah, Osteria Novoli also ship internationally as well.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, a lot of the restaurants in the center and wine places, they all ship internationally, which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So the great thing is you can go in and try your wines, have a little taste, then get it shipped to your house, which is the high life.
I do just want to stop this right now for a second to explain, it's on my TikTok, but to explain the differences between an enoteca, a ristorante, what are the other ones?
So basically it goes from enoteca, then it goes to an osteria, then it goes to a trattoria, then it goes to a restaurant. So basically enoteca is predominantly wine. They just do wines with maybe some meats and cheeses.
Light bites.
Very, very light bites. No real kitchen involved. Osteria then is another element of a place that specializes in wine, but then they turned around and started making small plates. So the small plates can be anything from fried asparagus with a bit of cheese or a small, like they don't really do pastas essentially. They just do the kind of more eggplant based dishes and do like
they're more like lasagna specials of the day as well.
Yeah, and their menus in osterias usually change with the seasons. Then going to trattorias are basically just family run old school restaurants serving classic dishes.
And that's the one where you go in, you have like your antipasti,
yeah,
you've got your primi, which is your pastas, you've got your secondi, which is your meat, your fish dishes, and then you've got your desserts. So very, very traditional.
Very traditional. Often as well, like we'll have specials depending on what the chef wants to cook. And then going into ristorantes. Ristorantes are basically a step above in premium restaurant experience.
Shirt, you're wearing a shirt and shoes, you're wearing a dress.
The table will most likely have a
tablecloth.
And wine glasses, like polished big ones. Trattorias will just have either bare wooden mahogany tables with the tiny little tumbler wine glasses that look like water glasses, or just two of them, one for water, one for wine.
There is a bit of a blending, obviously, between them, but a lot of people always ask us when they come, they're like, what's the difference between an osteria or a trattoria? So that's really good.
Yeah. It's just different levels of the type of food that they have the capacity to serve.
Sorry now, because we're just about to jump into a bunch of lunch and dinner places where some are called osteria, some are called ristorante, so...
Or gastronomia.
That's it, my...
Jesus.
So, lunches.
Lunchtime.
Pizzeria, Osteria. It's not just a pizzeria. They serve a whole bunch of food, but they do 14 euro lunches. And you get a 2-course lunch, 1 pasta, 1 meat dish. You get a quarter of wine, so like 2 glasses of wine, yeah. And you get your tap water.
Yeah.
Or you can get fizzy water as
well. Yeah, just your water, yeah.
For 14 euro. So we've gone there a couple of times with some friends. And yeah. So yeah, the lunch menu is 14 euro. You got to get there early or you're going to be waiting a little bit in the queue, but it's going to be all with Italians. It's not going to be your TikTok-y waiting in a queue with a bunch of tourists. It's very much like that's where the locals all go for lunch. Yeah. It's right near Santa Maria Novella.
Yeah, so it's like 2 or 3 streets behind, like halfway between Santa Maria Novella and the river.
Yeah, so it's still pretty central. But yeah, I think that's the best place to go for lunches. They also do dinner menus that are set prices as well. So I believe that there's like a 32 euro set yeah. course for 2. And then if you wanted to go the full bistecca T-bone, like, you know, you get your T-bone to share, you get your sides, you get either a dessert, a starter, you get your wine included. I believe it's 45 euro per person, but it's meant to be absolutely dynamite. That's definitely yeah. on the list for whenever we get money ever again.
So never on the list.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's a really nice place. And I feel like the staff are really good. They run a huge show. It's a huge restaurant. Lots of tables. Oh my God,
high turnover.
Yeah.
So like lunch in Italy is generally between 11:30 and 2:30. Some places will go from 12 till 3, but generally on average it's 11:30, yeah. 2:30.
Now we did get in there at 2 o'clock and they allowed us to stay there until 3, which was quite, you know,
yeah, it wasn't they'll stay open out, until 3:30, but they'll stop serving at 2:30.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, so really good experience. It was a ridiculous amount of food. If you're a one meal a day kind of person, that would fit you.
Yeah. The next place is an anomaly. It's ridiculous. It's insane. We first discovered it when, because obviously places like Italy, especially in Europe, once you miss lunch, there's not many places. Yeah,
you're screwed.
They have the reposo, which is like the siesta over here. So everywhere closes between like 3 o'clock and the earliest restaurant openings would be 6:30, maybe 7.
I've never found a place for 6:30. Yeah.
7 o'clock would be the earliest. So this place we stumbled into, and lads, Jesus. We walked in there and it was like...
So the reviews were really good. This is where I got screwed.
Mm-hmm.
We walked in. It was the day that we lugged our suitcases. We had just visited. So this is our anniversary place. Just to every year that we're in Florence, we go back there. But we walked in there thinking the reviews are super high. It's open all day. This is going to be amazing. The reviews are so good. And we walked into like a shop.
So it was kind of like a cafe weird shop. Atmosphere. They had a, you know, they had a display on the left hand side with a load of big trays of food in it. They just had some wine bottles on the right, bit of a bar counter.
I'm gonna be Coca-Cola fridge. It looked like a shithole.
It looked like a shithole, just like a complete utter shithole.
And so there were 2 young lads at the counter, and we were like, hey, can we get a table for 2? And they were like, yeah. And they bring us out the back to this ramshackled kind of smoky area.
With the classic like rainfall wallpaper on the back wall.
Like the cheapest of the cheap look.
Tacky.
Like, but I was like, no, Bob, it's going to be amazing. Like the reviews are so, so, so good. We had the worst meal of all time. I had a lasagna that was just
layered tomatoes,
eggs and tomatoes. You got this rice dish that was essentially if you left rice in the middle of a deli and it just picked up all the leftover ladle bits.
It was just like it was under everything else in the shelf and whatever fell into the rice is what you got. I got pieces of hot dog. There was a random mystery piece of tuna. At least I hope it was tuna.
I've never laughed so much during a meal. Like, oh my God. There was nobody else in there. We were like
one table of 2, maybe one lady in the corner like reading a fucking book.
No, there was 2 of their mates sitting over there drinking beers.
Because the young guy behind the counter had no English. So nothing. This random guy on our side of the counter started talking through what everything was. And like, this is everything we have. And we're like, okay.
It was like
we pointed at what we wanted, told us to sit out the back, and out the back is at the end of the counter, And there's a tiny little, I would say, less than half meter wide passageway.
Yeah.
You didn't really know the passageway out to this miraculous rainfall garden.
It just looks like if an absolute, like an absolute shithole petrol station shop had a little crappy outdoor space.
Like a Circle K cafe.
Yeah. But like, even like way worse. Like a Circle K that had been open for 30 years and some of the furniture was broken. So we had the worst meal of all time, but we laughed so much that we were like, this is going to remain in the mind forever.
So then a year later, we were like, do you know what we should do for the crack to celebrate being in Florence? Let's go back to the shitty place.
Yeah.
And see, because we were so confused. The reviews were so good.
And so I was like, did this guy just buy a load of like reviews online or something? What was it? Like we were perplexed.
Yeah.
We were perplexed. So a year later, we just so happened to be in that side of town on the week of our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
And we popped in. What a different experience.
We realized very quickly that when we were there the first time,
it was the
mom and dad were on holidays. They ran the place. Like, one was the chef, one was front of house. We were there during the holiday period of Florence, where a lot of people go abroad. So the son was just left in charge, who obviously just went, sure, look, I'll make rice and I'll make what looks like
lasagna. He was serving whatever was left from the time that they were there.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I'm sure he was pretty fond of, you know, smoking some stuff, if you get what I mean.
It's just like he was left by himself to watch the store, like a kid watching the store for their parents.
But he was,
while the parents are running out on an errand.
You know, he was definitely mid-20s minimum. But anyway, so we rocked in and this guy comes out. We're there. There's a few Americans dotted around.
There was a lot more people.
A lot more people. Still the same kind of ramshackledy, you know, the waterfall poster was still there.
It looked identical.
Yeah. So we just kept on laughing. We were like, we're in for a treat. And this guy, the front of house guy, he came over and put bibs on us.
He literally came over like we're in a lobster restaurant in America. He put bibs on us, tied them up, and we're like, what the fuck?
And we walked in, he was actually sitting, there was three young American lads who were getting a break from their girlfriends and having a few beers over a lunch. Mm. And they were talking about how great the food was, and this front of house guy was sitting down having a drink with them. We were like,
bringing out all these different sauces. And like, we did get the sauce the first time around. I think that was my favorite thing about the meal. Was just that there's nice little spicy.
The only edible
thing about the meal. Fucking hell. And like, he was like, oh, try this. And oh, I had this special one. It's really spicy. And he was like staring at the faces of these Americans. But like, he had a huge menu on the wall. It's like today's specials. We're like, okay, this is really different.
So he comes out with a handwritten menu.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, so you should get this, you should get this. You know, he obviously thought that we were tourists, didn't realize that we've been there for a year. Our Italian wasn't that amazing at the time. We were laughing too much to even fucking talk to him properly.
Wearing these bibs, surrounded by this crappy rainfall wallpaper, being like, this is hilarious. Like, what's going on? We ordered like two pastas and he split the two pastas onto our plates. We just like, oh, we're going to share. So he did it in the kitchen where he put each of our passes half on each plate. Fantastic. It was like brilliant.
I got my cheap Peroni there because I was like, I literally just fed up on beer the last time we were there.
The food was absolutely incredible. It was savage. Like, we were crying laughing, being like, what a renaissance.
We
like,
actually didn't get to enjoy the food so much because we were almost sick from laughing.
Just from laughing.
The Americans beside us must have thought we were like high or something.
They
like,
were having their best life. We were living ours. It was just like, the atmosphere was brilliant. It was just, the food was amazing. The front of house guy was just the best. And he, like, he's in all of the reviews. People being like, oh my God, the owner.
He sits down at the table. And Peppy.
He's just like a character. And he's like talking to you. And he recommends things. And he won't let you order something if he thinks there's better on the menu. And it was just,
it was amazing. So we will, we'll be doing a TikTok about it soon. But it's coming up on our 2 year anniversary. And that's where we're going.
Yeah, we're going back. Like, absolutely. We live closer now to it.
Yep. But if you just want to take a, it's on the north side of the city. But if you're looking for a place in the middle of the day, if everywhere else is closed, or if you're just looking for a really cheap, take a gamble. It could be really funny, but looking for a few cheap drinks as well.
Just looking for a random experience that is never going to be on Instagram or TikTok or TikTok famous. It's just this
head up there.
Crazy place.
Yeah. So we'll leave it.
Fantastic.
We'll leave it in the description and we'll just leave a note beside it called Anniversary Place. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's the best way.
Just what a crazy time. What a crazy time. So apologies for that huge tangent, but now we're back to normal programming. And the next one is also a little bit of a weird hole in the wall. Doesn't look amazing. Doesn't whatever you think it might be a bit rubbish.
It's a bit of a shop. It is a shop.
It's a fruit and veg shop.
Yeah, the fruit and veg shop. So you'll see a lot of fruit and veg outside. You don't really realize that it's a restaurant as well. So as you walk in, there's two doors, like it's a big U-shape, basically. And you walk in, and on the right-hand side is a load of basically just food behind a window, and it's all ready to rock.
It's like their version of a deli, yeah. I would say, but yeah. Like an amazing deli. So there's like roast beef, there's chicken, there's a variation of meats, and then they have all different types of vegetables. They've got arancini balls, they've got fried food.
Yeah.
They've got lasagnas, and it's a place where we've realized a lot of the teenage school kids go because
yeah.
They can get like a full dinner there for €5.
Yeah.
So you can get your glass of wine, you can get your beers, you can get whatever.
They have an amazing, like they do fresh bread, they do a fantastic selection of local wines. So you just rock in there and buy bread and wine, some like, you know, jars of lovely pestos and like...
Your olive oils, your balsamic. Yeah,
exactly.
But it's plastic plates, plastic cutlery, you rock in, sit down. But if you're looking for a cheap lunch, and again, it's maybe only, it's less than a 10-minute walk from the train station,
yeah.
Just near the river. And if you're looking for something cheap, cheerful, they do lunch, they do dinner, and they kind of stay open all day until maybe 7 o'clock. So yeah. Would highly recommend, so again.
Gastronomia Fili Buschetti.
Buschetti, yeah. So we'll put it in the description again, but yeah, it looks like a shop from the outside, but just walk in.
It's really cool. Really nice.
Brunch. Traditional American style or international style brunch, where we're talking bacon, eggs Benedict, all that kind of stuff. Our favorite place is a place called Santa Rosa. Our favorite place is called Santa Rosa Bistro, and it's in a little dog park. I think we mentioned it in a previous episode. It's a little bit spenny, but it's in this gorgeous flower garden. If you go in the middle of summer, there is no more beautiful of a haven. Yeah. It's on the Altrano. It's on the south side of the river. And I just think it's super cute. And there's never really a big queue. And I believe you can reserve online. So
yeah, you can reserve online. It's just behind the old walls of Florence. And it's absolutely gorgeous by Porta San Frediano, one of the gates of the city.
It's
just beautiful there.
We know after, you know, traveling for 6 weeks, sometimes you just want a bit of a brunch.
You just want a regular brunch. You just want, like, I went there, I had my eggs Benedict with smoked salmon, and it was absolutely lovely.
Yeah, and I had bacon on toast with avocado, and it was also amazing. So, yeah, and there's a lot of English-speaking staff there as well. So, we just recommend it. Another tangent, but it's not a story time tangent, is the markets. So, everybody kind of tends to know the Mercato Centrale, but we just want to give a brief description if you've never been to Florence before. We didn't find it our first time here.
No.
But it's a huge building behind the train station. It's maybe like 500 meters away from the Duomo. But downstairs, there is a huge market, like a farmer's market with butchers and veggie people. And they sell every type of, you know, olive oil, wine, all that stuff.
Multiple stalls, cured meat stalls, you know, fresh pasta place. They have all the fruit and vegetable vendors.
And seafood as well. So it's just a huge market. Yeah. And that's generally open until they start closing down at 1 o'clock. You won't get any vibes after one.
But yeah.
It's open for maybe 8:30 in the morning until 1. So you can go and walk around there. And then upstairs, which we had been to the Mercato Centrale several times without realizing that the upstairs had a huge food hall.
Yeah.
And the food hall has a whole different variation of foods. There's also a few butchers up there, but I would recommend either getting some of the roast chicken or chicken wings up there, or they have a really good brisket place.
Yeah, they do. It's like smash burger or something it's called. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's smash burger. Obviously they do lovely burgers as well, but they do traditional brisket. And yeah, when you kind of just miss something like that, where it's, you know, you're in Florence and it's a lot of steak, it's Fiorentina steak, that's the big one. But yeah, getting a nice brisket tray is just lovely.
Yeah, there's there's little restaurants there. They also serve steak. It's open all day. It's open until late. There's a big bar counter there as well. Do they serve some kind of beer? Which beer do they serve?
It's not they serve Murphy Stout.
It's so bizarre.
As their house stout. It's so bizarre. Like, and I've had people come over and be like, oh, I love Murphy. So I'm like, you can get it in the Centrale Market. People are like, what?
But yeah, so it's got a little bit of a vibe upstairs, especially because it's open until late at night and they show football matches there.
Yeah, they have a big screen. So like during the Euros, during like Fiorentina matches, the local football team, during any of the rugby.
It's a bit of a vibe, yeah.
It's a bit of a vibe. There's, you know, there's something for everyone. They have a little wine place in the corner. They have, again, Christini's, they have like Christini places. They do dumplings, they do ramen bowls, they do fried chicken.
So if you're in a big group, they've got huge long haul tables, so it's really good for a group. Or if you're just with people and they can't decide on what they want, or if you're stuck in the middle of town in the middle of the day and lunchtime is finished up everywhere else, just go to the Mercato Santale.
I'd also recommend it because upstairs is open on a Sunday, but downstairs the farmers market it's not. Upstairs has obviously like a good selection for everyone. If you want coffee, if you want a bit of lunch, if you want a sandwich.
We've gone there as a backup quite a few times.
I brought my sister and my brother-in-law there, and it was really handy on a Sunday because like they were kind of hungry. They didn't want exactly breakfast. They were kind of, you know, you wake up, a bit of a hangover on you. You don't know what you want. It's a good place to go.
Yeah, and it's not as busy on a Sunday as well. Yeah. So nice little place to check out. Good way to kill an hour.
Exactly.
But then the other market is called Sant'Ambrogio.
Sant'Ambrogio, yeah.
And it's on the east side of the city, on the very eastern side of the city, just behind Santa Croce, if anybody knows that. But Sant'Ambrogio market is much more the locals' traditional market. It's all Italians that shop or eat there. On the outside is all the fruit and veg, but they also have a vintage market. They've got like, you know, they're just selling tat.
Across the road as well, they have it's like called Pulici. It's an antiquity market that's open across the road as well.
Yeah.
So, if you ever watch a travel show based in Florence and they meet up with a chef, the chef always brings them to Sant'Ambrogio.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci, that's where he went. Yeah. There's
pictures of him on the wall over the place in there.
And our favorite butcher is there. But also, if you're looking, so Sant'Ambrogio only stays open until 2 p.m. It's also closed on some days. But it is, the food there, oh my god, it looks so good. They do like the proper homestyle meatballs. They do really good beef sandwich with onions and salsa verde and stuff. There's some really, really nice food stalls there that you can go and get food for relatively cheap.
There's only about 10 to 15 stalls inside. That's it. It's very small, but it has everything. The outside it wraps around. There's also a little outdoor like pop-up restaurant that looks incredible. Cute.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
So much cheese.
If you're a big foodie, go there and spend your entire morning because they have Trattoria La Rosa, I think it's called, or Ruku, Trattoria Ruku, that's inside where it's basically like a buffet ready to serve trattoria. So you can go in there and get a really quick lunch for very, very cheap. And like we saw like meatballs that, oh my God, and one of the other
to die for, yeah.
Incredible. So
and if you got an Airbnb and you fancy cooking for yourself a little bit, then there's some amazing butchers in there and they have everything.
Yeah.
Everything you could ever want. And if they don't have it on display, they have it in the back. So, yeah.
And if you're looking to explore like a really famous church called Santa Croce, where they host the Calcio Storico, they host a lot of open air concerts, it's a less than 5 minute walk to that market from there. So if you're staying in that area, Santa Croce, highly recommend the morning heading over to the market.
Stunning. So yeah, I feel like the Mercato Centrale is for like the first time Florence visitors.
Yeah.
And then the Sant'Ambrogio is like the secret one.
The secret one. So and if you go there, lads, please enjoy it.
And go and just find, what's the name of our butchers?
Valobini Carne.
Oh my God. And just get the spicy sausages and the salsa verde. They literally just know us as the Salsa Verde
couple. We're the Salsa Verde couple, yeah.
Because we just go in and buy batches of it
several times
a week.
So good. So they sell it as well for their sandwiches and their vendor next door, which is just amazing. Okay.
So now we move on to dinner.
Dinner.
Your favorite place is Tito's. We have spoken about Tito's in multiple...
Yeah, I won't keep talking about Tito's. Tito's is just a very classic restaurant. They do very traditional food, Tustin classics, and it's an amazing atmosphere. All of their reviews are written on the wall in permanent marker. Every square inch of the place is covered in writing. They play like mad early, like 2000s, like nearly house music sometimes.
All the staff are on a buzz. They're all taking shots together.
They're
fun
drinking,
music.
They're having fun. It's just, it's an experience. It really is. At the end of the meal, they leave a full bottle of limoncello, a full bottle of whatever type of amaro they have in house for that day. And they will, if there's two of you, they'll leave three shot glasses.
Yeah.
Because you better be pouring your waiter a shot. And they just say, help yourself. I've seen people like go to town. And like anyone I sent up, because it's right down the road from Finnegan's where I used to work, the Irish pub. Anyone I sent up there for a meal have come back more drunk from the restaurant.
Yeah.
Than
it's
they
a
were
really
in the
good
pub.
Way to set you up for a night out.
Oh my God. Yeah.
If you're a bit of a party couple, or even, I would say, a group of six maximum.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do any, like, I wouldn't do a larger group, but you do have to book in advance because it's a really highly sought after restaurant, especially with locals. So,
yeah, especially with locals. And it's very much, it's one of those word of mouth restaurants as well for people visiting. If they've like come back to Florence a few times, they've either met someone that's recommended them to go to Tito's. And yeah, for me, it's just like Tuscan classic food.
Yeah.
Really good pasta, very good steak.
And we've gone there quite a few times now. And at first I loved it. Then I went through a phase where I was like, for the price, I'm not too sure. And then I have gone for two amazing meals there since. And I'm like, oh no, worth every penny. Absolutely.
I've been there a good bit more now than you have. Mm-hmm. I've done like three or four more times there for either like
Staff dinners,
lunches. For my wine course, we all went there for a big lunch. And yeah, they do specialty dishes depending on the season and what ingredients they have as well. So that's really cool. The waiters are going to mess with you, joke. It's just, it's an experience.
The venues are really fun. And also, just sometimes if you find something that you like in Florence or you've seen something on the menu, if you just ask them, they might just make it for you. So, or even if you just say like, oh, I'd really love to try tripe. But
Don't ask for a cappuccino, though.
Do not ask for
a
cappuccino.
There's a sign on the wall that says it will cost you 5 to 10 million euros.
Yeah, no, they're really tongue-in-cheek, really nice staff, and it's a really good vibe. So I've turned around on the Tito's train now.
And if you get to Tito's without a reservation and you really wanted a pizza, and they have no space for you because they don't do pizza either, next door is Rosario's.
Now, you might not get a pizza in Rosario's either.
Any of the American audience that have watched Seinfeld, there is a character in Seinfeld called the Soup Nazi. This is basically that. He is from the South. He runs the entire place by himself. There's about 12 tables, one pizza oven up the back.
He cooks, he serves everything.
One man show. If he's in a bad mood and you ask for something complicated or you try to change your order,
you're not getting
he'll simply tell you you're not having a pizza today and ask you to leave. That's the way it is. And I love that.
Yeah, but the pizzas are really amazing. They're maybe €8, maybe €9 if you're getting like a really heavy meat dish.
One of the cheapest restaurants we've been to.
Yeah.
For the beer as well. Like it was like €3 for a bottle of beer.
Yeah, the two of us got two pizzas each, two beers. And I think we walked out. There was no Caperto. I think it was like €20, €21 or something.
Yeah, and he was lovely to us. Yeah. Thank God that day. We got lucky. We went in there like one of the first tables.
Yeah, he was quite quiet. So,
but yeah, highly recommend. Really, really good place.
The next place is called Camaldoli.
Pizzeria Camaldoli. Camaldoli.
So if you're looking for a place where you definitely will get your pizza.
Yeah.
Camaldoli, it's right beside the Centrale Market. So again, it's about 500 meters from the Duomo, a couple of hundred meters from the train station.
Yeah.
But they serve pizza quite late, up until about 12:30 at night. They do takeaway boxes as well. Yeah. So if you just want to grab something, get back to your hotel room. But the pizzas there are Napoli style, really nice. Like the Diabolo there is chef kiss.
Yeah,
really
chef
good.
Kiss. Amazing.
And I always think it's a good sign when you see a big, heavy Italian waiter, like probably chomping on
pizzaiolo, like behind the counter, belly out, like the apron clicking on for dear life, because he's obviously a chef that has tasted his food.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, he knows how to cook a bloody pizza.
Yeah, and the wines and the beers are fairly priced, I believe, as well.
Yeah, so. I think it's very fitting. Very small outdoor area, probably about 4 or 5 tables outside. probably only 5 or 6 tables inside. Very small pizzeria, but
I think if you are staying somewhere in the city center and you were like maybe thinking of getting a delivery or maybe thinking they will make that pizza in like less than 10 minutes. Yeah. So it's worth it. Just rock it over.
There for the quality.
Yeah. Aspect. And they're more than happy. Like if you just put in the order and say, hey, I'm going for a drink. Can I pick this up in 20 minutes?
And I'm going to go out on a limb here for everyone that has heard of Gusta Pizza. It's overrated.
It's so overrated. I don't like it at all.
No, it's not. There's many better places to go for pizza. It might be the most famous, but I'm just going to say it. I don't like it.
It's not even famous. It just got big on TikTok or on Instagram. And
somebody famous went there. Like a couple of famous people went there.
What's the name of the guy with the blue hair?
You're thinking of Guy Fieri.
Yeah, Guy Fieri went there and he did a special on
Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's not our favorite and I wouldn't wait in a queue.
Good quality, but there's nothing special. Like Camaldoli is definitely better in my opinion.
But right next to the very, very overrated Gusta Pizza is I think it might be my favorite restaurant in all of Florence.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's there now. And it's called Casa Linga. It's just by Santo Spirito, so it's on the Altrano. Altrano. And Casa Linga, it is like super, super traditional. It's very much like a trattoria. You've got your primi, your secondi. But the prices are super fair. I got the veal steak there. I was meant to get a chicken and roast potatoes for lunch. And it was going to be like €11, which is totally fine for a huge plate of dinner food. But I had my eye on the veal steak. I had seen it in the pictures and it came out. And he was just like, I'm so sorry.
There's no chicken.
There's no chicken.
You didn't miss a beat. You were like, veal, I'll have the veal. That's my answer from God.
No, it was €22, but I got this incredibly huge veal steak with this huge plate of potatoes, and I splurged out because I just needed a vegetable as well, and I got a side of spinach. Now the two of us on a normal day could have shared that, to be perfectly honest. It was a huge huge meal. But Casa Linga, it's where we have sent so many of our friends. I've spent a birthday there. We sent my brother there the night he was going to propose. And they had a wonderful experience there. They do an amazing steak. They do amazing meat dishes. They do amazing pastas. The staff are really nice. It's all Italians. I cannot recommend it enough.
And it's fantastic.
You also, if you sit outside, you get to see all the absolute feckin' Egypts standing in a queue for Gusta Pizza whilst you're having like the most incredible meal for the same price. So.
Yeah. And it's incredible because like you look at the reviews and there's only like 500 or 600 on Casa Linga, even though like it gets a lot of passing trade, but it gets a lot of locals. Like it's very much a locals restaurant.
People don't want you to know about it, but it's very much when you asked, because my brother had said that he was going to propose and Cormac was asking a lot of the locals as well. Like, you know, if you were going to pick like a very romantic place to go and have a meal, or if you could pick one place to have like your bistecca, like T-bone steak, everybody said Casa Linga.
Yeah. Casa Linga was a standout, and we had been there once before, and it stood out to me the first time we went there.
No, it was the day after my 30th birthday that we were there, so I was dying. But even then, I was like, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah, because I got the bolognese there. It's one of the nicest bolognese's I've ever had as well, I have to say.
And again, it's like that intermediate. You don't have to wear it. Like you can rock up with a pair of jeans and a nice top. Like it's not, you don't need to be dressed up to the nines. So I really recommend that. We want to touch on all day restaurants because obviously some people are used to, and with jet lag as well, it can be a bit of a dose.
You could land in and you need to go for a nap and you wake up at 3 or you wake up at 4 and everything's closed for lunch and everything doesn't open for 3 more hours.
And you're starving. So here are some kind of places that you can definitely get a lunch or a dinner. They might have a similar menu all throughout the day. We mentioned San Lorenzo several times in our prior episodes. It's right around the corner from the Duomo. They do an amazing meat platter. They do brilliant steak. They do brilliant pastas. I have been there so many times now. And I just go and listen to our first episode. But the staff are amazing. It's one of our top restaurants in all of Florence.
It's where we got one of our most favorite dishes, which was a 38-year-old platter of meat for two. And there was 4 different meats for each person, one of each.
and it was fantastic.
Yeah, and they change it up all the time. Sometimes it can be lamb chop, sometimes it can be pork chop, sometimes it's steak, sometimes it's...
So it's Tuscan sausage, lamb chop, pork chop, and a bit of steak.
Yeah, and then sometimes there's ribs thrown in as well. So it's it's really, really good. And they're seared greens, because just to let everyone know that vegetables are quite hard to come by in Florence. You might get a side of spinach for €7. You might get a few tomatoes.
It's funny because it's like vegetables in the markets and the shops and all that. Easy to find. They do fantastic vegetables here. But in the restaurants, it's a very strange selection that they do. They prefer doing like chickpeas or white beans, like cannoli. They prefer doing just like...
It's an absolute
or they just do,
the amount of times I've woken up, like, especially when we're on the holiday, and I was like, I just want a piece of broccoli.
Now, where is this, like, a mixed vegetable? Like, what's going on? Or, like, you order insalata verde at three different restaurants and you get three different things with the same name.
It's not good. It's not good. But
it's just a bit random.
The San Lorenzo has my fit. I would just go in and get a plate of those seared green vegetables. They're absolutely amazing. So it's like a mix of, like, spinach, broccolini, broccoli Rob for, like, the Americans.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really, really nice. The next place is Zaza's. And it's open all day. I would only recommend going up there up until 6 p.m.
It's one of the most famous restaurants for tourists in all of Florence. It's right beside Centrale. It's just on the corner. It's about a 300 to 400-seater restaurant. It's a machine. They do everything. The menu is probably 6 to 8 pages long.
The best steak. So not the T-bone steak. They do like their kind of own like fillet or sirloin steak. It is the best steak I've had in all of Italy. €18 for a steak and potatoes. It's just amazing.
I've never been disappointed. I always get a pasta when we're there because we usually go for lunch.
You got very, very sad one time. You got one
bad meal
there. I had
one bad one. They did a carbonara and they overcooked the eggs.
Yes.
Very simply. And I saw the next carbonara come out to the table next to me. Amazing. And it was perfect. So they just fucked up one dish out of all the time we've been there. So I can't.
And I feel like if you had said it to them, they immediately would have been like, so sorry, we'll do it. But
the only thing is sometimes in Zaza's, I have to say, they have this huge outdoor patio that's covered. And
don't sit outside.
It's just insanely tight. Yeah. Like you're on top of each other. And the service isn't always immediate.
No.
They bring the food out surprisingly quick for a place that's pumping out 300 or 400.
Once you put the order in, it's 10 minutes. But to get the order in can take a bit of time. So ask for a table inside. Never go there in the evening time. It's just way too busy. So beautiful place for lunch. And I would also recommend the appetizer. The antipasti mixed platter. Get the meat one and then get like the mixed board. And that's a really nice way, again, to taste all of the things of Tuscany.
Yeah. Truffled omelette, lampredotto, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Bruschettas, the whole shebang. So, my favorite place that I've discovered, right beside my work, which is kind of where the staff go for a little after-dinner cocktail.
If you're trying to find Cormac from the pod, this is where you'll find.
Yeah, basically any time after 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, this is where I'll be. So it's called Cafe Notte, and it is just off of Santo Spirito, so in the Altrano again.
Around the corner from Casalinga. So I would say go to Casalinga and then go to Cafe Notte.
So it is, for me, being in hospitality, it is kind of my dream setup style atmosphere. It's an old school mentality of like how a bar should work. It has, as you walk in, it has a little...
Deli counter.
They do hard boiled eggs just randomly for like €1 or something. A lot of people just go in there and get a few hard boiled eggs. You'll have locals sit down having their coffee, having their tea. They do a lovely variety of food. They do a lot of focaccia style pizzas.
The funniest one that we've come across our friend, a friend of ours ordered a hake and
red herring. Orange zest pizza with like a white sauce.
He said it was delicious. It looked like the most disgusting thing I've ever said.
Smelled amazing.
Oh, it's not for me.
Smelled amazing.
I don't like fish pizzas, but...
Bistro, like Italian bistro style menu where they do like the little focaccias. I love the meat and cheese platters there because they vary in price on size. So it's just, you can get like a €6 one, an €8 one, €12 one, like in a €22 one.
It's it's €6 per person, essentially. Yeah. So it's 6, 12, 18, 24. You can have it as big or as small as you want. But even a little €6, if you guys are just have a little munch on you and want to have a glass of wine, then just get a little €6. It's enough to make two wee little sandwiches.
And you get a liter of house wine for €10. You can get a bottle of Prosecco for 14.
Yeah. And then they also apparently, it's not my style of drink, but they do the best Negronis in all of France.
Oh my God, it is.
You've gotten into Negronis, man.
I've gotten into Negronis because of Cafe Noche.
And Cromwell came home last night and he'd had two Negronis and he was a little bit tipsy.
I was tipsy. Negronis are dangerous. Negronis are very dangerous cocktail. It's literally 90 milliliters to, well, in that place, it's at least 100 milliliters of just alcohol. And it's dangerous.
But yeah, lads. The vibes are good. It's all Italians in there. Please don't tell anybody else about it. Like, it's very much a, we would never put it on. We would never put it on TikTok.
But if we ever get famous for a podcast and this gets loads of views, we're going to delete it.
No, they like, we'd literally be barred for life. Like, they'd run us out of town.
It's very much a local place. They have these beautiful little outdoor alcoves that go into the wall with little tables so you can sit outside. And like last night, I was there for the first time that we've seen it. The doors were all open.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was all open the whole way through. It just has a beautiful atmosphere.
And we've also seen them have a long table reserved for an upcoming kind of dinner. So you can book it for a group of up to, I'd say, 12.
But I think you need to ring directly.
They don't really speak any English. So, but yeah, just...
They're very basic English. If you're looking for a reservation, I think you'll have no issue. But don't be surprised if they say no. Because again, it's a very local place.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people share tables in there. And it's, yeah, it's just beautiful, beautiful place.
A place that is not a local's place. It's a touristy place, but it's a touristy place that I like. It's a very good place if you had kids to bring them. My brother came over with a child and they were super welcoming. And it is just around the corner from San Lorenzo or the Medici Chapel, just right by Centrale Market as well, is Ristorante Pizzeria Ginori. And they have red checkered tables. They always, I don't know why, but they always have like American folk music or like country music.
They have country music all the time. Like you look at the reviews, some of the reviews are scathing, some of the reviews are great. It's kind of like a Milano's of Italy for our Italian chain in Ireland.
It's a very mixed kind of, but it's open all day. If you're there with kids or if you're not too fussed, you just want to, like, they do the most amazing lasagna. Their lasagna is my favorite in all of Italy.
They do an incredible pesto gnocchi as well.
Yeah.
But like some of the dishes are just very basic, very simple. The staff are kind of cowboys.
They're tongue in cheek. If you don't have a sense of humor about you, then don't go there.
You'll hate it. Yeah. You'll hate it if you don't.
But the wine is really affordable. They do beers. They do pizza. They do pasta. They do meat dishes. Kind of like if you want to go for an Italian dining experience, but maybe you're with someone who's a bit fussy or isn't used to international styles of eating, then it is the place for you.
Yeah.
So just to have a generic Italian but not quite fully Italian restaurant, I think it's really good
if you're just, you know, if you're on a time crunch and you just want to get in and get out of somewhere, it's a great recommendation.
And the prices are super reasonable as well.
Yeah.
So other cuisines,
so basically, lads, if you've landed in Naples and you've been on the road for a week, or if you just don't like Italian food or you're sick of it, then here's a list of places that are alternative cuisines in Florence.
So they're all different from our previous episodes. Not to say that we still love all of the... We still love Chili Casa. We still love New Delhi, the Indian. We still love... what's the name of the ramen place that we had mentioned?
Ramen Story.
Ramen Story, yeah. So there's a couple of, like, we still love all those, but here's just some more ones that we've found that we keep on going back to. I'm not a skinny girl. I love a bit of fried chicken.
Yeah.
And I love a bit of fried chicken on a hangover.
You can be skinny, you can be fat, you can be whatever you want. You're still gonna love this chicken.
Oh my God, it's called Zhao Zhao's and it is the best fried chicken I think I might ever have had in my life. It is, it's a fried chicken. It's kind of like a KFC style chicken tenders, but it's done with a slight Asian twist.
Yeah.
And you get a bucket of it. It's €7. It's unbelievable.
Pure MSG.
Pure MSG. Eat it in the restaurant. It is 100 meters away from the Duomo.
Yeah. So it's a perfect introvert's restaurant, because when you walk in, there's two like do-it-yourself order machines, just like Burger King, McDonald's, touchscreen tablets, two of them, and you basically make your order there. You can change whatever language you want. It's like really nice to take your time, look through the menu, order it, you get a number, you go to the counter, pay for it, sit down, and then when your food's ready, they just call out the number, you go up to the counter, collect it on a tray, go back to your table, wherever you want to sit. So it's brilliant. Again, if you're hungover and you just have the absolute fear and you don't want to talk to anyone, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing. The staff are all actually super nice as well.
Oh, really,
just,
really.
But they're just
really
not nice. Over. They'll chat to you if you chat to them, but yeah. Otherwise they're very nice.
Otherwise, they take your number, they take your money, and they give you your food.
Very polite people in there, I'd say. And they also serve beer, they serve wine, they serve Proseccos, they even have champagne. And
Things. Crazy.
But it's just, it's a really clean, open space. And also, Zhao Zhao's is on Deliveroo, and it's usually free delivery. So if you are
it's a better offer on Glovo.
Glovo. So yeah, Glovo is like the Deliveroo or Just Eat of Italy. And yeah, it's sometimes it's only €5.50 and you get it delivered. And it's,
and it's free delivery, and it's 5:15 instead of 7.
We used to live, our last house, so our second house in Italy, was right across the road from it, and like immediate £20 gained by just eating fried chicken 3 or 4 times a week. It was
terrible.
But it was so good. I don't regret it.
Not at all. It was just so fantastic. Like, it was incredible.
The food's usually ready in like 5 minutes. Yeah. So, and it's open all day until 9:30.
It's savage, lads. If you miss a bit of fried chicken, savage.
The last few we're just going to jump through quite quickly, but on the north side of the city, it's Punjab Kebab.
If you just like a really high quality kebab, incredibly well made, Punjab Kebab. It's cheap as chips, €4.50 for kebab wrap. Absolute high quality. When you see a kebab place busy for lunch and dinner, you know it's good.
Yeah, it's open all day. They also do a really nice rice dish with chicken, like a chicken curry dish. And the guy is super sound in there, really cheap beers. You always see people filtering in and out there. It's just our favorite kind of kebab place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next one is Crown of India. I believe we mentioned it in our first ever episode, but we just want to re-mention it because we've brought several family members there now, and they've all said that it's been like a highlight of their trip.
My parents said it was like the best meal they had in Italy. Like, it's an Indian
my
restaurant.
My brother loved it as well.
No, classic Indian style restaurant. All the authentic dishes that you expect. The pakora mix and everything for the starters is really good.
Mix is top notch.
They give you the papadons when you sit down with three different sauces.
Big cobra beers, big tiger beers. It's just, it's a proper Indian restaurant, and they're really, really nice staff, and it's really decent prices.
Very consistent.
A little bit more expensive than your traditional restaurant.
Yeah. But
again, if you're sick of Italian food, a lovely big fat curry.
Yeah, just that's what you need.
Nin Hao.
Oh, for Chinese lads, like in Ireland, obviously we love a shitty Chinese. And when we say shitty Chinese, basic dishes, we just want, you know, chicken curries with rice, or you want your
chicken balls.
Yeah, chicken balls.
Yeah, fried duck. You want
spicy chicken.
Sweet and sour, where it's like MSG and sugar and
Nin Hao is just the absolute best.
Yeah, about 10 minutes away from the train station, south, going towards the river. But again, they're on Glovo. They're on Deliveroo as well.
They're on Deliveroo,
Usually have free delivery. But yeah, they've got a cute little restaurant. Or we will be talking about El Trip or Tray in the next section, which is one of my favorite Irish bars in all of Florence. And you can bring the Chinese into the restaurant.
Into the restaurant, which is into the pub, you mean?
Yeah, or sorry, into the
pub. Yeah, you can bring the Chinese into the pub and eat it there with your pint. Savage.
Yeah, so if you're having a bit of a hangover day and you don't want pizza or pasta, go and get a dirty Chinese and get a couple of pints into you, and happy days.
Yeah. As an honorable mention as well, a place that we haven't gone to yet, but it's called Teatro di Sale. So it's basically a gigantic restaurant. They do live music and shows. So it's dinner and a show. It's really famous in Florence. The chef and owner is a kind of a local celebrity. But yeah, you can go in there. You get a set menu for like 60, 70 euro with the entertainment included. It's probably, I think, a 100-seat restaurant, to my knowledge. And it's somewhere we really want to go, and we will go. And yeah, it's just meant to be a really cool experience. If you're looking for something different, if you want a little bit, big date night, you know, like everyone gets fed at the same time, apparently. So it's a really authentic community style place. It's also actually called a Circolo. Mm-hmm. Circolo Theatre, so a community theatre with food.
Yeah, we'll leave that link in the description and we'll tell everyone about it when we go to it next.
Yeah.
And then the final thing I want to mention is supermarkets. Mm-hmm. Supermarkets for food or for, you know, your beers, your wine, whatever. I'm just going to put it in order of, I find Kona the most expensive. I find Carrefour on the next price tier, very good for beers, wines, but neither of them have a very good meat selection.
Yeah.
Then you've got Esselunga, which is kind of like almost like a Tesco
supermarket. It's a proper
It's a proper big supermarket. They're all a little bit out in the outskirts. Then there are Lidl's, but they're very far out of the city. So if you have a car, there are Lidl's, but they're Italian style Lidl, so they won't have everything that you have at home. And then the best.
The God tier.
Co-op.
The Italians call it COP.
COP. So it's COOP. There's a couple of them. Again, they're all a little bit outside the city center, but they are the bee's knees.
Yeah.
They have the best wine, the best beer, the best selection of foods, especially international foods. They've got so many like cheeses, the meat selection is absolutely, their spicy sausages are the best things that I've ever tasted.
In-house butchers, in-house deli counters,
huge delis, roast chickens, roast beef, the whole lot. So I would highly recommend, if you're staying in an Airbnb, especially with a couple of you, empty one of your suitcases, walk over to Co-op and fill up on water, wine, beers, and a couple of snacks.
Yeah. So if you're anywhere near the Santa Croce, Sant'Ambrogio area on the east side of the city, that's where one of the largest co-op is. And it is just absolutely incredible. There's also a huge one northwest of the city, a little bit far out, but go there, stock up. It's class.
Yeah. The one on the Altrano, which is in the southwest, is not good. So don't bother going there.
Yeah.
But the co-op near Sant'Ambrogio is... it's just the best.
Just the bee's knees.
I enjoy going to the supermarket.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this episode has reached 90 minutes plus in my editing stage. So we're going to call it there. We're going to do a part one and a part two. Part two is going to be all about fun. So we're going to talk about bars, excursions, different cultural events that you can attend. And yeah. We really hope that you subscribe, and we are at The Irish Podcast on all major social media outlets. Thanks so much for listening, guys.